in the school, Ned.
Right. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Now then, I remember when I came here, I did a children's talk just on that verse. And I'm not going to test you all, but what I did was, maybe I shan't. Who can remember the children's talk I did on that verse? Can anybody? Nobody. When was it that I was last here? Where's Roy? When was I last here? You can't remember? Oh, dear, man. I was talking about the outside, wasn't I? And how people look on the outside. And the way we look. And people think, oh, isn't that lovely? That person looks so happy. And then we were saying how God looks on the inside. Well, this morning I want to encourage everybody. Because if you are a Christian, you should be, in a sense, rejoicing. And you may say to me, Dalton, well, I don't feel like rejoicing. I've got loved ones who are unwell. Myself, I'm unwell. I've got lots of cares and worries. My health is not right. I'm a Christian and yet I'm struggling. Why am I struggling so much? How can I be happy? It's a miserable world out there. And furthermore, we're coming out of summer, Dalton, and we're going into winter. I don't like the dark nights. I know, I don't. Anyway. And, you know, sometimes is I was with someone who suffers from the sad seasonal, seasonal disorder. They call it sad. Have I got the acronym for sad? Seasonal?
Seasonal affective disorder.
Thank you. There we are. These experts here, you see. There we are. And for some folk, it's a real issue. And for some time, for some of them, I know someone, visited someone where actually they've got to have a particular type of bright light that they have to have in the house. And we had such a person with us last week, particular bright light, and that helps. So really, we're saying, how can we be happy even looking at a verse like this? Because this verse is often given to someone who's just become a Christian, or at your baptism or so on. But what can we learn from this? Well, let's have a look at it. Because Paul here was trying to encourage the Christians. And I'll just speak to Christian just for a moment. If you're not a Christian, I'm going to speak to you as well. But Paul was trying to encourage the Christians here. Look, remember where you were. And remember now what you've been brought from. For me, there was a time when I couldn't be bothered with the Bible. There was a time, and I'm going to come down round you, don't get frightened, but there was a time when this didn't mean a thing to me. All I wanted was the enjoyment of life. I wasn't thinking about God. And as most of you know by now, when I went to a boys' brigade camp, I became a Christian. My life was not a life that was pleasing to God. And becoming a Christian, God took me from darkness, all the bad things I was doing. Good to see we've got some boys and girls in here, so we'll try and make it as straightforward as we can as well for some of you so that you can understand. But God took Dalton King out of the darkness, some of the bad things he was doing, and God brought him into light so that I can now follow God. So I'm spending just a little bit longer on just this verse for us to realize. So now that I'm in light, now that I'm following Jesus, when you become a Christian, what does it say? It says, the Lord Jesus, we're on a rock. Okay, who can finish it off? On Christ the what? Solid. Finish it off? Or? Right, okay, I'm going to do it again because that was like a damn squib, people. Right. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All
around is sinking sand.
Right. So that when you become a Christian, the Lord Jesus, he puts you and me almost on a rock because he's going to keep us going. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at two things. Nice, simple, and straightforward. Okay, we're going to look, first of all, life without Christ. Because to be honest, you were once, if you're a Christian this morning, there was a time when you were without Christ. Who were you living for? Tell me. And that's an answer to, sorry?
Self.
Thank you, John. Living for ourselves. Put your hand up if you live for yourself. Or you have been. Well, I know I have. Because we've done it, haven't we? And even as a Christian sometimes, we've got to watch it. Because we can still want to live for ourselves. So there was a time when we were without Christ. And when we were without Christ, what state were we in? Well, the Bible says, look at the state. Can someone read that? Let's have someone reading that for me. Without Christ, what?
This is the state of nature, the state we were all born into.
That's right. Born without Christ. And I'm sorry to say, but a newborn baby that's only hours old, is that baby a Christian?
No.
Why? Because they've been born actually in sin. We inherit all the Adam, and we don't want to start another sermon here, but I have to say this, when Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God, their disobedience affected the whole human race, everybody. You try and be perfect today. Put your hand up if you think you can be perfect today.
No, we can't.
You can't, can you? We could do our best, but we're going to fail. Aren't we, people? Hear this. Aren't we, projectors? You know, give the notice out to us. And whatever, whoever you are, open the door is. Doing the great job in the kitchen afterwards, in the refreshments. Preacher, we're all sinful. I'm sorry, but you may not like it, but it's true. Because why? We've got this nature. What a life without Christ. What else can we say? So we're going to look at two things, the old state, and let's look at the old state without Christ. What else can we say? Oh, dear me. Let's have another reader.
Dead. We're all dead in trespasses and sins.
That's right. And in fact, should I put the verse there? Where does it come from? Ephesians what? Someone tell me. Ephesians chapter what? Where does that verse come from? Come on.
Chapter 1.
Come on. I don't have to want to go back to Peter and say, look, you know, I've got a problem. Come on. Ephesians, is it chapter 1?
Yes.
Is it? Well, come on. All right. Someone find it and read it for me. It doesn't exactly, it's that you'll find the text, you were dead in trespasses and sins, but you'll see it there. Ephesians 1, because we're not going to move until even if we're here till lunchtime. Right, who's going to find it? Yeah, with scripture. Someone says Ephesians 1. Is it Ephesians 1? Is it? Right. If you think you got it, read it, because we're not going to move. Dalton's saying...
Ephesians
2:1. Ephesians 2:1. Right. And what does Ephesians 2:1 say, John?
As you were dead in your trespasses and sins. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses.
Thank you. Ephesians 2:1. Because there's a state again where we couldn't be bothered with God. This sin that we're talking about, this disobedience, had so taken over. What a horrible state to be in without Christ. We don't want that, do we, people?
No.
No. We don't want to be without Christ. I should have clicked it on, but I didn't want to click Ephesians 2:1. And then verse, the third point, and I've mentioned that already, haven't I? In Adam, all fell. What do we mean by that? Well, in Adam, all the sin that he committed, everything, it all came upon us, as it were. In Adam, we all fell and are totally deprived and really under God's wrath. Boy, it may all sound negative, but actually, we have to talk like this because the Bible talks like this. Sin is serious. It's against God. And when we sin, when we disobey, God hates it. Why does God hate sin? Can someone tell me? Why does God hate sin, people?
Because he's holy.
Amen. And when we say he's holy, he will have nothing to do with anything that's bad. Because God is holy. What do we mean by holy? He's clean. He's pure. Yeah? We like things that are clean, don't we? Yeah, that's right. So it's so important. So the whole state without Christ. We don't want to be in that state. So that's the first point. The old state without Christ. But then, let's just move on then. Secondly, the new state. What do we mean by the new state? The new state is what?
In Christ.
In Christ, thank you. See, we're all there. We're with me. Good. We're in Christ. And if you're a Christian this morning, and it may sometimes find really hard to understand, how can we be in Christ, we may think. That sounds incredible. But the simple way I try and get my head around some of this is by just saying, remember, we were once in darkness, we're being taken out of darkness, and now we've got Jesus as my best friend. What about having a best friend? We're in him. He's with me every day. Oh, people, isn't that wonderful? It's great. We've got Christ Jesus every day if you're a Christian. And what does that mean? When we have Christ with us every day. And that's a long verse there, but it says, in Christ, it says there, this is a state of being saved. How do we get saved? Through faith. Now, we know we're being simple and straightforward, but it's important. In Christ, through faith, by believing that Jesus died on the cross for us. But did he stay on the cross?
No.
No. He was buried. And what happened when he was buried?
He rose again.
He rose again. After how many days?
Three.
On the third day, he was up. And this is why so important as Christians, our faith is so real. Because we're not serving a dead God. We're not serving some dead prophet. Jesus is alive. He's alive. It's wonderful. Well, if I've woken some of you up, praise God. He's alive. And it's great. And so, the Lord Jesus, conversion, because we've trusted and believed in him. What else can we say that's about being in Christ? With Christ, this is one day, if you're a Christian, one day we believe that when you die, where are you going to go?
Heaven.
Heaven. Praise God. So the state of glory with Christ. And for the Christian, for the person who knows and loves Jesus, this is what we're looking forward to. Heaven. And Paul, Philippians 1:21, this man who hated Christians, who used to go into probably meetings similar like this where Christians were gathering, this man who wrote Philippians 1:21, he wanted to kill Christians. He wanted to get rid of them. But when God saved him, when he became a Christian, all that mattered to him now was Jesus. What matters to you this morning? Do you really love the Lord Jesus? Do you? You know what I get worried about sometimes? I've said this so many pulpits. I say to myself as well, we can get too used to some of these scriptures. We get too used to coming to church. Become a sheer habit. Oh, get hold of the wonder of this. Jesus, Paul says, he loved me and gave himself for me. That's why Dalton can get excited. Far more than West Indies beating England. You know that cricket. We can't do it so much now. Far more than the rugby match. I've got some of us at church yesterday to watch. Yesterday. But we'll wait for the big stuff. New Zealand and Australia. Anyway, there we are. But we get excited. But far more excited to think of Jesus, to be with him. What else can we say? Hope everybody's still with me. What a state. We want to be in this state, don't we? In Christ. Wonderful. What else can we say? In Christ, We are perfectly restored because of his obedience and his death and his resurrection. We've said that already. What benefits we have in Christ? Because he didn't stay dead, did he?
No.
He did not stay dead. And this is why the Christian faith is so unique. It's not, I say, people say, what religion are you? When I'm on the park, when I've been on the park, we stopped a couple of weeks ago because it got too dark. But the last few weeks, we're four parks around our church. We've been doing park work, talking to people about Jesus. And one guy says, I just cannot get it. How can he rise again? It's just not possible. I says, yeah, you're not God. So it's not possible with you. But with God, what can we say with God? Anything is
possible.
Oh, front row. Oh, great. It is. What else can we say? This is wonderful, people. It's not just Dalton King losing the plot here. It's great. So the believer, back to our text, the believer is a new
creature,
meaning we've got a new state, a new heart. Praise God that we've got a new heart. Before we were Christians, perhaps, we couldn't be bothered. Still had a horrible, deceitful heart. And we still even got to watch it, even as Christians, haven't we? How's your heart? How you doing? We're in Christ. There are some people now, I find myself talking to on the park and elsewhere, that before I was a Christian, I probably wouldn't have bothered with. Why would I bother with them? But do you know what? When God saves you, the love of God drives you. Talk to one another, sister, whoever. Love one another. Hey, the love of God, he drives us to want to talk to people. Not that I love these two. Of course I love them. But you know what I mean, don't you? The love of God drives us to want to talk to others. But then there's always a battle, isn't there? Romans chapter 7, 14 to 23. There's always a battle. Because sometimes we want to follow God, and the things that we really want to do, what we call the old nature, the sinful part, fighting and saying, oh, you don't want to go to church. You don't want to read your Bible. And there's this constant battle going on. Here's another test for folks. Right, get your Bibles out. Who can find the verse that says, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil, and so that tells us the verse. Who's going to find it for me? I need someone to find it and read it. Because we've got, you know what I mean, don't you? You know the verse I mean, where Paul sort of says, sorry? Right, okay, we got it up there, but yeah, tell me the verse, which is the verse? It's not all of that, what's the verse? someone's on the button there, right. You've got some of the clue there that's already been picked up already at the back. But tell me that verse where it talks about that. Has anybody got it yet? Verse 15? Right, who's going to read verse 15? Is it Romans 7:15 then? Okay, someone's going to read it. Don't be afraid. If there's silence, it means it's your turn to read.
Got it.
Okay, come on then. Nice and loud.
I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. For what I hate, I do. For what I love, I do not want to do. I agree that the law is good as it is.
Thank you. It is a tongue twister, but in a nutshell, it's what I'm trying to say there. Constant battle going on. Yeah? We'll know it, don't we? This battle where we want to please God and the flesh, the old nature sort of say, oh, don't bother with that. Oh, turn that square thing on that you got in your room somewhere. It's far more relaxing. You know, don't bother reading your Bible. You're too tired. And there's a constant battle with us all, with me. Every day. It's far easier just to pick up a newspaper and look at the crossword or just read it instead of pick your Bible up. Far easier picking up a newspaper or a book. Be careful. We've got to watch it because this old nature, even as a Christian, there's a constant battle going on. And as we're drawing towards a close, we're still looking about the new state. Great. Christ He has paid the price. Isn't that wonderful? Hey! And he's paid it in what?
Judgment.
He's paid, he's paid the price for our punishment in
full.
In full. Nothing more to be added. We haven't got to go to a priest this morning to confess anything to a man on earth. We haven't. Jesus has done it all. And because of that, because of what Jesus did on the cross, the bad things you have done and I have done have been put to the account of Jesus. It was all laid on him. How incredible. It was so laid on him that even on that cross, as we know, God had to turn his back against his son. And there's great darkness over all the earth. Even at a time when it actually should have been bright sunshine, because it was midday. And it shows the awfulness of sin. But God is holy. Back to the word we heard earlier. So what a state to be in. And do you know what's even more wonderful? I love this. In Hebrews, the Lord says, I will be merciful towards their iniquities. What we mean by iniquities? All the bad things you and I do. And I will remember their sins no more. Isn't that incredible? And you know what I've said, and I've said this year before, when we have sinned, God buries them in the bottom of the sea. And what did I say to you the last time? The sign goes up that says what? No fishing. Thank you, Joe. No fishing. Don't dig in the past. Because sometimes for some of us, maybe the past can cripple us. We've got to move on. Don't let the devil rob the blessing that God's got for you. Don't dwell on the past. We've got to look on forward. We've got to. We're marching where, people? We're marching to Zion, aren't we? That beautiful city of our God. Boy, it's so rich and wonderful. And I love it. No more to be remembered. The work of salvation, what Christ did on the cross, is finished. It's finished. Praise God. I wonder if there's a person here this morning who's not a Christian. What is stopping you from giving your life to Jesus? What? What's stopping you? Do you want to carry on living that old life? Do you remember the old state we talked about? Or do you want to be in the new state? You want to be in the new state. I nearly said put your hand, I won't do it, but put your hand up if you want to be in the new state. Well, okay. We want to follow Jesus, people, don't we? Hey, we don't want the follow the world. We're ultimately the joy, seeming joys of this world is not lasting. So whoever you are, carers, friends, parents, family, whoever, turn to Jesus. There's no other way. No other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And I love this final slide. I love it. I love it. The Christian, yes, has a what? What does a Christian have? A what hope?
A glorious hope.
And you can know that if you're not a Christian by giving your life to Jesus. What a hope. A glorious hope. And then Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, look, the sun's shining, people. I came in. I told you I'd bring the sun this morning. Look at it. Hey, Mark, it's Overton. It wasn't been all raining and whatever and dull before the Caribbean man came now. And look at it now. You might need your sun cream, some of you, soon. There we are. There we are. But look, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I put that slide on, and sorry, I couldn't help it, but it seemed as if it was brighter over there. Well, may the Lord cause us all to be encouraged. Hey? Because we know and love Jesus. And we're in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you're safe. You're secured. How wonderful. Lord Jesus, we pray. Help us all to want to be in the new state in Christ. To follow you and you alone. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I don't even think I've ever chosen the next song as a finishing song. But do you know what? I thought we're going to sing it. I said to Roy, we're going to sing it twice because it's short. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. And it's so lovely. And in the light of what we've been hearing, I thought, well, we can't sing anything else. So we'll stand to sing. Thank you.